This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the first Jewel claim.
Oh, it's a photo of the Derby! Miss McMahon!
The race for the Triple Crown erupts into an epic party. The Preakness Stakes, May 18th on NBC and Peacock.
More and more intense as we get closer to
rain in the desert.
Super Bowl Sunday. The rain, I thought it stopped. Maybe it is stopping. Maybe it's back. By the end of the week, it should be sunny and look like Las Vegas always looks. Chris Sims, Mike Florio here in Las Vegas. We've got a packed show today, and there's going to be a lot of moving parts. Derek Brooks, Hall of Fame linebacker, will
any
be joining
second.
Us any second now. We'll have Baker Mayfield. I just saw him in my peripheral vision back there. He'll be joining us as well.
Yep.
Over the course of the next hour or so. We've already interviewed Puka Nacua. I love Puka Nacua.
It was amazing.
I want to adopt Puka Nacua. I know he's got a family, but it's just, I feel it just seems like a great, great person.
He does. Like you said, it's almost like, can you get mad? Are you sure you can actually get intense and mean on a football field? Can you talk trash? He just seems like he's always at peace in this, like, zen way. Very cool way about him, certainly. And we learned that Puka means fat and chubby. Yeah. And we had a lot of fun kind of giving him some crap about that.
I didn't realize that when you said it. And then I saw
it. I caught
it,
you by surprise.
And I realized. And you know what? What we're
going to
do.
Oh, we're going right. We're going right to the QB.
We're going to make an adjustment.
Well, see, like, I played with Derek Brooks. He's a linebacker. Linebackers are a pain in the butt. Quarterbacks are on time.
All right.
And this is Baker Mayfield, and the quarterbacks are on time. Way to go, QB.
That went more smoothly than I expected.
All right. What do you say, Baker? Welcome. Oh,
appreciate it. All right. Here he is. Baker Mayfield, Buccaneers quarterback for now. Maybe for good.
We'll he better be.
How you feeling?
Feel good. Happy to be
one,
here.
One Buck QB to another. But
I love it.
He's a boomer
sooner. But one
sooner.
Has a spleen.
Well, he does have a spleen, and he's a boomer sooner. All right? So
that's a low blow.
It is a low blow, right? Damn
it. Fresh.
How you feeling, man? What's going on?
Feel good. Yeah, just got to enjoy the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And just being around guys in a different atmosphere and just enjoy the seasons that everybody had and their families there, something that I hadn't really been a part of.
Right.
And just to see him kind of relax and still competitive in a certain way, but just enjoying it was fun.
I know business is business, but you do seem at home in Tampa, right? I played there. It's a cool spot, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
And I went into it with not really knowing anything about Tampa as a city.
Right.
And very little knowledge about the Bucks, but just loved it. The people there, from top down, they're all about business and how to win, and that's something I can relate to.
Right, fan base is more passionate than it gets credit for.
They are.
Right.
But it's one of those cities that people want to travel to later in the year, so you get a lot of away fans.
Yeah, I know. But
fan base is definitely passionate. You get the people that are talking about, I've been here since the old Sombrero Stadium and all that.
Right.
So it's a fun place to be.
Right.
I want to spin it back to a year ago, Baker, because we talked about this a lot as free agency was approaching. Great 2018 season, spectacular 2020 season. 2021 gets derailed week two with the shoulder injury. 2022 just ends up being a shit show, frankly.
Because the Browns screwed you
right.
over.
And then you're in period. Carolina, and that's part two, shit show. And then, London. And that we're live in London, but they don't bleep it out anyway when they have a five-hour head start. We're live today. They'll live with it. But I thought that there would be, like, others like us who understand you get this guy healthy, mm-hmm. you get him motivated, you're going to get a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Why do you think there wasn't more interest?
I don't know. I think just the inconsistency, I think people aren't willing to take a chance on that. But I knew Todd Bowles from the very beginning, pre-draft stuff, and he knew exactly who I was as a person. And obviously a player, but who I was as a person culturally, just to try and implement that in the locker room and to get guys to believe and get that fire back into it. And so all you need is one chance. And so they took that chance.
Do you think that gets underrated, though, the value of having a guy like you come in and become the teammate that everyone loves, the leader that everyone follows, the straw that stirs the drink, setting aside whatever you do on the football field, having that presence within the locker room, not the coach being the one to do it, but the guy in the middle of all of it. Do you think teams don't value that the way they should?
It's definitely undervalued, but here's the thing. They had all the other pieces to where I could just come in there and be myself. They allowed me to do that. They allowed me to be the best version of myself, and so that's what was the best part about it. And so you get everybody on the same page, and I love finding out why people are wired a certain way, what makes them tick, and so getting to know some of these veterans, the guys that have had a lot of success, and then also the young guys and bringing them along. It's just I love that part of it, and it was enjoyable.
You just took me right where I wanted to go, like how people are wired and all that, because you're chippy, right? You're chippy. You told our Rodney Harrison that you have little man syndrome to a degree, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
So where did that come from? Like, has that always naturally been in you? Do you remember your parents telling you that as a kid? Like, where do you find that chippiness?
It goes back a long ways.
Yeah.
I was always extremely competitive in sports, right. Tried to play as many sports as possible, and right. I think that's important for kids to do nowadays. But then on top of that, was a very late bloomer. So recruiting nowadays for quarterbacks in high school, it starts so early.
Eighth grade.
And I was 5'2 as a freshman. So right. It's like I'm not getting any looks.
No.
And then I grew up right in the backyard of UT's home field.
Don't be shooing us away over here.
And just not getting the looks that I thought I deserved at that time.
Yeah.
And just carried that mindset. All right, if they don't want me, I'm going to go prove it to people why I deserve it.
Then you go to Texas Tech and get disrespected there. I'm sitting there watching you on the field in Kansas going, damn, this guy right here, they're like, he's can throw it. Like, oh my gosh, this guy's a player.
I could throw it. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, you could throw it.
Yeah. Looking back, as you're a young college guy, you don't exactly know the game of football, but you're out there enjoying it and just throwing it around.
Yeah, what made you finally, because it's such a unique story, and I don't think everybody realizes you're at Texas Tech and Mahomes is coming and Cliff Kingsbury's there. You know, what finally made you realize I got to leave here and I'm going to go to Oklahoma and move on with life?
Yeah, and I don't like bringing up bad stories, but everything happens for a reason. So started the first five games, sprained my MCL against Kansas. We were 5-0. Thought when I came back healthy, I was going to play again.
Yeah.
And I grew up an OU fan.
Yeah.
And so my heart wasn't in it at Texas Tech. So when I asked if I was going to be put on scholarship at Texas Tech, they said, no, we're still working on one for the fall. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to truly enjoy it.
Right.
And if I get one, then great. But
yeah.
I'm going to go somewhere where I've always wanted to go.
Oh,
and that's
good for you.
Took a chance on it.
More of a life decision.
Exactly,
there.
Exactly.
Right. Good for you, dude.
One of the things we like about you is you're candid. You tell it like it is. No pulled punches, no BS. And you were candid last week about the offensive coordinator choice in Tampa being a factor in whether or not you would want to stay. How do you feel about their decision to hire Liam Cohen?
I love it. Obviously, I think there was a lot of good choices, so I don't know how that process went down, but somebody that I was with in L.A.
Right.
two years ago. That's a big part of it, but I think also it's the same system as what Canales was running, and so I think, people can say I had an input on it. Not necessarily that. It's they're looking, how can this transition be the easiest for our offensive guys, having to learn a new scheme, not putting too much on their plate, but having the similar verbiage and system and schemes and all that, and just for them to be able to hit the ground running, and that's a big part of it.
What was your, in your coaching world there, what was your time like with McVay, right? It was such a weird thing.
Yeah.
You had the magical Thursday night game where you're like literally off the plane, like, what? Here's the play. Okay, I'll figure out how to play.
Yeah.
What impressed you about him?
How cerebral he really is.
Right.
Watching him in his prep work, not necessarily – I mean, him calling a game, you can tell how he sets plays up and how he schemes things up, but how he can truly coach every single position on the field.
Right.
And that's something to admire, that He knows every detail, how he wants it done. And so he's out there during walkthroughs sprinting for the receivers on a motion that's supposed to be a timing thing. And so just how he coaches and approaches it with that passion, it's something to admire.
You, the end of this year, best you ever played in your life? You know, 2020, I know you did some good things there in Cleveland, but you were hot here at the end of the year.
It's up there.
It's up there, right?
Yeah, it was. And it was, I had so much fun. And I'd say it was. And looking to build on that and keep going.
Do you feel like you pushed them? Because I kind of made the comments and we talked about, remember when he was a little bit like, I think if we play through the pass a little bit more instead of trying to run the ball, you had Todd Bowles who wants to run it. And you were,
I think you said we're never going to be a run-first team.
We're never
I think that's what you
team.
Said.
Like, did that edge the team along a little bit to go, you know what, he's right. Let's start throwing it,
well,
and then we'll run it.
I think we had the realization that we weren't very good at the run at times. And so we got to flip the mindset and pass first, then set up the run. But it was – Todd allowed us to be aggressive.
Yeah, right.
You said earlier you don't like to bring up bad memories. I have to bring up one.
What do you got?
A recent one. And this is something we talked about a lot after the loss to the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize you guys had a timeout and it's fourth down and we could stop it here and maybe get the ball back
the
and
Lions
I could maybe throw a couple
properly.
Hail Marys? Yeah. They screwed up the clock management. I mean, I know there's a lot going on in the moment, but in the moment, did you...
Look at this little stumpy guy. Yeah,
I'm right in the middle of asking the best question of my life, and here comes Jay Glazer.
It was
the best question of my life.
In the moment,
love
I didn't
you.
Realize it.
Just go. We'll see you later. No.
Hey. What's the best question of your life?
No, I'm exaggerating.
Oh, now you're exaggerating.
I'm exaggerating.
I come up here to call you on it, now you're exaggerating.
All right. Good to see you.
All right, good to see you.
That was my favorite segment of all time. I'll just let you know.
Thanks. Anyway,
did you plan that?
I did not. That was good timing.
So anyway, in the moment, a lot's happening. But it's like, holy crap. We could have stopped the clock here and gotten the ball back and had about 30 seconds to try to go down and try this,
I didn't realize this
game.
I didn't realize it at the time. But looking back on it, I think they would have just kicked a field goal. And then we would have gotten the ball with even less time. And, I mean, it's hindsight's 20/20. But, yeah. I don't really have a correct answer for that.
Yeah, no. It was a weird thing because it was like the game's over if they kneel the ball correctly.
And
a lot of them
really
do it.
They handed it to you. It was just weird.
A lot of the guys didn't realize until afterwards.
Give us a quick Advance Auto Parts pitch.
Yeah, so here on behalf of Advance Auto Parts this week, Super Bowl Sunday is obviously a big deal.
Yeah.
But February 18th, next Sunday, is National Car Battery Day.
Whoa.
Oh, and so everybody hates a false start. And when we say false start, dead car battery.
Yeah.
So if you register at aapfallstarts.com and there's a false start in the game, the big game this Sunday, you get to win a chance to get free car batteries for life.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big deal. So
we're rooting for some old linemen to get a false start.
Just one false start. We don't want too many. We don't want a
sloppy game.
We don't want a sloppy game, but just one false start and somebody's going to get free car batteries for life.
Okay. All right.
Baker,
like
awesome stuff. We wish you all the best as free agency approaches. We hope you find a way to stay in Tampa, but wherever things lead, we're going to continue to root for you in all things you do. There he is.
Appreciate
Baker
it.
Mayfield. And by the way,
Baker,
you're coming up. 5 o'clock Pacific today at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook, the live Super Bowl Mega Picks podcast, PFTPM, Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Be there. It's free.
Place.
Just go scatter to west, right, tight, F left. 372 Y stick Z spot.
Y stick Z spot. Y stick Z spot. That is
really
fast.
Making you nervous, aren't I?
I'm making you nervous, aren't I?
No, I just couldn't spit it out.
Oh,
that's well done.
Man.
Very well done. Man. So easy, a little kid could do it. Spit the play out, Sims. What's wrong with you, Sims?
Right. Yes, well, he saw...
You were so nervous.
I was nervous. It was like the third day of training camp.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that play yet. He threw me in with the ones. I was like, oh, no, I haven't said that
No,
play.
You go back from, all right, here are my four plays. I'm going to call my four plays, get in. Hey, Chris, come in. You're in.
Exactly.
What's...
You know Gruden liked to jump on me. So.
Yes, we were sitting there cracking up laughing. We all standing waiting over the ball like, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so he set me up. He set me up. I like, first off, I mean, Derrick Brooks, legend, right? And just adding into that moment there, my rookie year, my first practice in full pads with this football team off the Super Bowl,
Yes.
When I was stretching, I was the most nervous I was ever for any football thing in my life. Right. I really was. Because it was the first day we were going to hit, and the defense was like, ready to go. And I was like, whoa, the intensity of this has really gone up a lot. And that, let alone Gruden's on my case and everybody. I was so nervous. It was I almost wanted to throw up before practice dealing with these guys. And then he's calling out plays.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, watch this. They're going
to
do this.
Oh, man, I love doing that. I love doing that to offense.
Oh, he did.
But it was fun. Man, glad you guys have me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. Super Bowl champion.
Hall of Famer. You guys doing your thing.
You're late, though. You're right. You were supposed to be before Baker, but the quarterback, of course, was on time and the linebacker was late.
Well, listen, all I can do is this.
He brought pizza, at least. He brought pizza.
Okay, I'm delivering pizza.
Okay, all right. It's a good start.
For my official pizza sponsor, Little Caesars of the NFL.
Awesome.
So I'm going to accept responsibility because I'm a captain.
Right.
But I'm accept responsibility. But now that I'm here, we're going to perform.
Okay. It's go time.
And you perform well enough to have both of those rings, the Super Bowl 37 ring, the Hall of Fame ring of excellence. When I look at that ring, and it's beautiful, and I love Super Bowl rings, that team you had, when you look back on it, do you ever think, man, should have had more than one of these?
Yeah, of course. And that's a very fair question, Mike, because as Chris alluded to, when you got here the following year, we brought back of our top 30 players, 28.
Right.
We were there.
Right.
But we didn't bring back the right mentality to be in that position. And quite honestly, what I've learned all these years is in the turn asking that question, why we didn't, we never started back at the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah, right.
We were trying to stay at the top and defend versus starting that climb back at the bottom.
And everybody else is climbing up.
And everybody else is climbing up. And by the time we figured it out, probably, halfway during that season, we go and we win five out of our six games.
Yeah, that's right.
But then we have to depend on another team to beat another team to get in the playoffs. And obviously, it didn't happen. But I would have liked to have seen if we somehow got in, I think we'd have made a lot of noise. Yeah. And that's why I appreciate these two teams.
Yeah, right.
The fact that not just Kansas City and continuing to get here, but even San Francisco 2 years ago, to go back and be a different football team now than they were then and still be in this position, I have a lot of appreciation, man, for teams that are able to continue to put themselves in this position and understand that.
You got some LBs in this game.
Oh.
Right? Oh. I mean, Fred Warner being the main guy, who's got a lot of, I know Nick Bolton's the man, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But like, talk about them. Because Fred Warner reminds me of you in a lot of ways, right, when you were in your prime.
Yeah, so when I look at both these guys, the first thing, in comparing the two is their field awareness off the chart.
Yeah.
Nick has gotten so much better in their schemes that Coach Spagnuolo's been able to adjust their schemes and do different things.
Yeah, they do a lot,
because this young man has showed the capability to handle it all.
Right.
Whether it's showing, rushing, down and rushing, covering the field, one-on-one situations as he's double covering slot receivers, tight ends.
Right.
He's been able to do that, and it's particularly, spying on the quarterbacks, too, in the athleticism. When I look at Fred, he's done a great job, him and Greg Greenlaw, of complementing each other.
Yeah, right.
And when you look at how D'Amico used them together versus how Coach Wilkes is using them together,
right,
that skill set doesn't allow two different coordinators to do the same thing. It's because of that skill set.
Yeah, right.
So I see them both, Chris, being able to play in space because it's more of a passing league now.
Yep.
And they tackle well.
Right. Incredible.
The lost art of tackling.
Right.
In today's game, it makes me puke sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Well, everybody's so into stripping the ball, too, or they don't tackle the right way. Wait, so I want to ask you this.
Well, hang on a second.
Okay,
why do you think it's gotten that way, that tackling is a lost art?
Because – so many teams now, obviously, because I'm on the appeals hearing officer for fines, and when I talk to players that are getting fined, is, hey, the governments are making the game safer. We're definitely moving in that direction, but that does not give you an excuse, man, not to grab someone. Just grab them, bring them down.
Right.
You're not trying to hit them down no more. Right. Guys are too athletic now. They're bouncing off hits.
Right.
Just
give them the shoulder. Give them the shoulder. Trying to hit a hard head there.
Hey, how about go ahead, wrap them up. As I told one defensive player, I'll keep his name nameless in the process. I say, what are you afraid to get intimate with your opponent about? He say, get intimate? What are you talking about, Mr. Brooks? I say, that's what a tackle is.
Right.
It's a very intimate relationship where you grabbing somebody.
Right.
And you're not going to jail because you're grabbing them.
Right, right.
How about grab them? Right. Bring them down to the ground.
Don't lose your money.
Exactly. Right. So I just say that is the loss. And I don't think, Mike, they practice it enough. I really don't.
And that's the CBA thing from 2011. Yes. Took away padded practices, made things less intense, gives the players. And there's a balance to strike.
It's a balance.
But you never learn how to tackle.
Coaches have a choice of how to script practice.
Yeah.
They can script going through these drills and doing it. You don't have to go through the physical bringing a guy down.
Oklahoma drill.
Yes, you don't have to do that to practice tackling.
Right.
You just have to emphasize it in doing it.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't waver in the sand with this because I wasn't known as a big hitter, striker. I was a tackler.
Yeah.
Just get him to the ground.
Get him to the ground. Grab him and bring him down to the ground.
On that point, and you haven't had to deal with this yet because it's not illegal yet, but it feels like the wind is blowing very strongly against the hip drop tackle. Mm. What are your opinions on that?
I think it's a time. Me and my good friend, Mr. Vincent, you know, we go through our discussions about that.
Right.
And one particular play this play in college that happened to Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
I saw that was an effort play that a young man was hustling down the field, grab a guy, bring him down. It's certain angles that are part of making a tackle. When you're coming from the side and you grab a guy in that area, your body weight and your momentum is going to take you to the side versus you coming from behind someone, grab and pulling back.
Right.
There's a very big difference in those two. So do you call them the same? Do you say both are hip drop tackles? Or do you rename one after the other? And I look at the play against the tight end, Andrews against.
Yep. Yeah, the Bengals.
The Bengals.
Right.
That was a good tackle to me.
Yeah.
You look at the way that kid's angle came and the way that he was not trying to pull back. He was trying to grab.
He's just trying to get anything he could grab.
Right. He grabbed to the side and momentum rolled.
Right.
That's how that happened. It wasn't a grab from behind and pull back. Now, we did have certain instances
that were egregious.
Egregious where someone grabbed, wrapped around, and rolled a guy back. That is definitely a tackle that I don't want to see.
Why wasn't this more of a thing, though, when we, like, in our day, right? I mean, you know,
Chris, we
didn't see as many of this. Like, it became like a fad where guys started to realize, wait, this is a pretty effective way to get it down.
Well, you get
because I don't remember you doing that,
really. No, because guys now being in more open field tackling positions.
Right.
Just now than ever before because the game has evolved.
Right.
And it's more of an open game and the rules are more offensive now.
Yeah.
So you're not getting it, you know, with us, we were big on pursuit, drill, and gang tackling.
Right.
You're not necessarily seeing that now because the ball is out and players are in space and this is just an evolution, you know, of that. And you know the game, you know, obviously we have to make it more safer to protect it.
Yep. Right.
And make that investment in doing it.
Right.
What's the toughest issue for you to balance and resolve? What type of thing? Is it use of the helmet? Is it something else?
Well, I always tell guys that in the fine process, James Thrash and I, we do not fine. We're the appeals officers. NFL ops, John Runyon, that crew, they do that. And, Mike, what is tough is our tolerance level when it comes to certain things as use of helmet. What is our tolerance level when it gets to that? Defenseless receiver, what is the tolerance level?
Right.
And what do you mean by tolerance level? Like where does it go too far?
Tolerance level mean in terms of the environment of the play.
Right.
Because I'm looking at it from a replay, slow-mo, versus a guy on the field that's live action, the official making the call that's live. Where does the environment, where is that in the tolerance level to see that? Yes, I can govern a play because I can wind it, I can dissect it, I can slow it down. But, hey, you mean to tell me when it's fourth and goal, Super Bowl's on the line this weekend.
Right.
You think someone that's an ISO play, you think someone is thinking about use of helmet?
Right. The fullback, the running back, they're
no
all going to
No one is
their
thinking
head.
About use of helmet.
Right.
That won't get fined. And we understand that because that's part of but a tolerance level that I struggle sometimes in the open field.
Yeah.
I try to boil it down when a player has a choice, especially when it gets to a running back now, when the running backs now for this past 2 years started the use of helmet. When they had a choice to do something else, I tend to try to educate them on the choice, not more or less the decision.
Right.
Like, hey, here are your choices. How in this year could you see a better choice than what you chose to do based on the environment?
Right.
What kind of feedback do you get from the league when you overturn their fines?
Oh, it's great dialogue. do they like it? No. Do the union love it? Yes. But it's vice versa. So, you know, our position was is a, the only CBA-created position. So I already know once we sign that, hey, we're going to have half that are happy, half that are sad. But here's what I love about the leadership now in both entities. They're encouraging effective communication. Where years ago when we played, the appeals officer wasn't part of the health and safety committee.
Right.
The appeals officer wasn't presented to the competition committee. I get a chance since I've been in this position to be and do that. I get a chance to be in front of teams. I never heard from the appeals officer when I played.
Right.
But through the union and the league's partnership now, they're allowing me and serving this position to do that, and the communication piece is outstanding.
Tell us what you have going on with the Little Caesars, and then we have quickly, one more important question for you after that.
Quickly, so the orange box here represents Little Caesars Pizza, our official pizza sponsor, and we have a pick six slices and sticks promotion for Super Bowl.
Damn. Now, you're putting on the quarterbacks like that, huh?
Exactly.
Pick six, so the hex is on them.
So fortunately, exactly. I'm used to being in this position of having
pick six. Super Bowl pick sixes.
Yeah,
so, huh?
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I remember that.
So what I'm encouraging all of our friends to do is go download the Little Caesars app. Once you download the app, accept the pick six slices and sticks challenge. Once you do that, now you got to spend a little bit of coin, okay? You got to order.
All right,
let's be, you got to order. But once you do that, you enter into the contest. And now you sit back and you root for either defense to have a pick six. They score, you win a slices and sticks pizza.
You're rooting, the guy to do this.
I like both defenses.
Yeah.
I like pick sixes. Yeah. So I want someone to score a touchdown via an interception in the Super Bowl. And personally, I love it to be the 49ers because I got to pick John and Kyle to win.
Yeah, that's right.
And if it's one of those two linebackers, man,
now
they get
a
chance
crazy.
To be, be the MVP.
Look at you.
Oh, my God. Now I have a lot of runway in conversation.
All right. I wanted to ask you one more, but we got to go. All right, we got to go. I know.
All right. You got it?
Well, I got it. We used to room Dungy back in Disney, whatever, right? It was alphabetical order.
Yes.
Except for you with Brooks and Sapp. B and S doesn't go next to each other. But what? They
sometimes
put you
do.
With Sapp? Why? So you had a babysitter? You had to make sure he wasn't going too crazy?
Dang, well, Coach Dungy had the magical talent to manipulate. I guess he used a Greek alphabet when it came to
You're funny.
But he
awesome.
Had to make sure that a B and an S were right next to each other because the greater good of the team.
Yeah. Well said, Mr. Brooks.
Perfect
well
way
said.
To end it. That's one Hall of Famer, Derrick Brooks.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
Las Vegas, site of Super Bowl 58, which is just coming up in a matter of days as we work through the week here at Radio Row with plenty of great guests. And one of the greatest of all time joins us now at the quarterback position He is the legendary.
The legendary.
Dan Marino. What's
Thank
up, Dan?
Guys. What's going on?
The man.
You guys are looking good.
The legendary.
Feeling good.
That's great. Yeah.
Like the thrower of throwers, right?
Best
like,
arm ever.
One of the first times, he doesn't even remember this, when he was quarterback challenge, I was growing up and I'd be there. And
I do remember that.
He'd be getting ready to go out there and, you know, throw lasers and hit some target. And he'd be like,
warm up.
He'd always be like, hey, little Phil or whatever. And he'd start throwing the ball at me real hard. And like,
little
crap.
Phil. Yeah. I didn't call you little Phil.
No, you didn't. You didn't. You definitely
Or maybe
did.
I did. I don't know.
No, a lot of people did. But I just, I don't know. But you were always great to me, and I appreciated
cool.
that,
Thank you, man. Thank you.
How many yards in the year 2023 would Dan Marino throw for?
So I get this question a lot, and I know I don't have to prove it, so I would say at least 6,000.
Right?
I don't have to prove
Are you amazed? Like, what is it that jumps
Plus
out
you
to
get
you
an
about
extra game, too.
An That's extra true. Game, the yeah. pick plays, all oh, these yeah. formations
well,
and things.
You're throwing it sideways, the completion rate's way up.
Does it drive you crazy seeing some of that? Like, this
no,
is a
I think it's actually,
down,
I know. You know. It doesn't drive me crazy, right. but I can see that if you're doing it, yeah, if it's a quarterback, you want to do it.
Right.
Right? Because of all the advantages you get. But we always threw the ball. You know, everything was downfield, high to low. You know, we never threw RPOs or, you know, the quick screens.
Yes, right.
If you get the right numbers and stuff, that we never did any of that.
It's comical watching old games that you played or, you know, my father, because it's like every throw is 25 yards down the field.
Yeah, or you're throwing a little check down.
Or you're throwing a check
down. Or you're waiting for
it. You're waiting for the big one, and you're sitting there patting the ball ready to throw one of your lasers there. Yeah. Who's a play caller right now in football that you kind of look at and go, man, I'd love to be, like, in that offense and run the show there?
Oh, wow. I guess because of the success that they've had together is Andy Reid and Mahomes.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, how do you get over the last, three Super Bowls, last 4 years?
Yeah, three of the last four,
three or four
six
years.
Straight AFC championships.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
You know, right there. So just to see what they're doing, I think everybody does the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the philosophy. You know,
right.
It's like, how do you attack it with the people you have? You know, that's my thing was always like, how do we run plays according to who we have?
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting. That's who I'd say right now, probably Andy Reid.
Still working with the Dolphins. You'll forever be identified with the Dolphins. What do they need right now to get past the first round of the playoffs and maybe get as far as the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think just continue to grow. I think we've grown a lot over the last couple of years, especially with Mike and Tua and the offense and defensive. I think we played pretty damn good last year defensively until, I know it's an excuse, but we got decimated with a lot of injuries.
That's right.
You know, and LaWaddle didn't play every week.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of thing hurt.
Jalen Phillips. I mean, those are big people to lose.
Yeah. So
right.
I think we just got to continue to grow, keep the people that we love, and go from there. But I do believe if we didn't have all those injuries, we could have won a playoff game for sure.
Something Chris has brought up in the past, and I think that it's 100% accurate. Not to say they're not tough, but they're maybe needs to be a little more in your face, a little more I'll kick your ass and take your lunch money attitude coming from the players, that maybe that isn't there all the time. Are we inaccurate in that perception?
Are you talking about just the Pacific team? Or
this team,
about
the Dolphins, right now.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I think our guys love the game. They want to kick ass, like you said, I mean, for sure. But once again, you know, you're going to have questions if you don't win at the end of the year.
Yeah,
and that's kind of, you know, that. I mean, that's just part of it.
The perception starts.
And everybody's grown up. They understand it. You know, that's part of it.
Right. Yeah, it's the passing offense, the warm weather Dolphins, all that, right? The perception is they're not gritty enough. But you feel like that's in place there. They can.
Once again, I mean, continue to grow. And, you know, we had an opportunity where we could have had home field advantage. It didn't work out. But that's part of it. Sometimes you got to go on the road and win, and it's tough. That's why getting to this game is so hard.
It's tough,
the NFL,
right.
I mean, it's no joke. And I was telling a lot of people this with our M&M's deal. It's getting a ring of comfort, right? A ring of comfort for those who didn't win Super Bowls.
So that's what this
is about. And Bruce Smith's in it with me and T.O. and Scarlett Johansson.
Wow.
And she's in it.
Damn.
Because I guess she didn't win two
She hasn't
Oscars.
Won a Super Bowl either. Oh, well, she didn't win a Super Bowl
you
either.
Guys, but you said Scarlett.
She didn't win a Super Bowl. But you're right. So it's just, it's a fun thing.
Cool.
And And if you want to go see it, if anybody's in Vegas,
right,
you want to go see it, it's at the M&M store.
Oh,
the
man.
The actual ring with right. diamonds in it and the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Peanut butter M&Ms and peanut M&Ms are one of my favorites for when I have the munchies at night. I'm a go-to
at
in that
night,
department.
Every night.
At night.
And afternoon.
I wanna,
and morning.
Like, talk a little bit just because, I mean, I think so much of you, but I would like to hear you kind of wax poetically about this guy that's in the game. I mean, 15, Mahomes has reached Marino, Elway, Montana status, right? When you're on the field with them or watching them on TV, what is it about Mahomes where you just go, wow?
So, I mean, first thing that you look for in all those kind of players is how competitive are they? You know, they really, you know, want to compete, want to beat you at the end, like, you know, take your heart away, that
like
kind of thing.
When you just have the veins and the
red
face.
Well, thank you, you're saying that. But I mean,
that.
But like Mahomes, that's what he is. Like he's a competitor. He wants to win every game, like all quarterbacks do. But same time, he has that talent. He has his special as far as it's just arm strength, his ability to throw from different angles. And I think he's underrated on his ability to escape the pocket and make plays outside the pocket. I mean, he's probably the best in the league at that.
He's a magician, right?
Yeah.
It's not about
blessed,
running.
Blessed with the arm talent, too. So,
right.
Yeah, all that combined, you know, he's special that way.
You think he can catch Brady with seven?
I think if he gets this one.
It's going to get interesting?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It does.
Seven's
feels like,
just a lot,
whoa,
though, man.
Isn't it? It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
But one of the things I say, Dan, you know, and you went through this, when you get into your 30s and you've seen a lot and you understand a lot and you can still do what you've always done, you get better.
Yeah.
He's going to get better.
Oh, there's no doubt he's going to get better. And if they can continue to put the right people around him, which is important, you know, you got to have that. You could be a great quarterback, but if you don't have help, you're not going anywhere. So, you know, that's the one thing I would say that they need to continue to do as a team is put real players around him.
Can he spin it? Can he throw it?
Oh, yeah,
that's
all
the
that.
First things I heard him come out of his mouth, right? Like my dad was telling him, hey, Christopher's a pretty good little quarterback, and he looked at my dad and was like, Phil, can he really throw it? Like,
and your dad said, yeah, he can really throw it. I'm like, well, that's all I need to hear. That's it. Yeah.
So we hit on Mahomes. You know, who are some other guys, like, that you look at to go, wow, in football when you watch them throw or, like, go, man,
well, they're all different. You know, I thought Tua played great this year.
Did.
I mean, he, with the, like I said, with some of the injuries, offensive line late in the year, we kind of fell off a little bit. But I thought he had a terrific year that he continued to grow with. You know, one thing I was impressed with is his accuracy and his timing this year. That really developed a lot.
Right.
Yeah. And stepping into – you know, Mike's offense and getting that down because it's a little bit different.
Right.
It's a different offense. And so him, Josh Allen, all those guys.
Like, you know, Josh Allen, when you see him throw, are you sometimes holy crap,
He can throw.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like
down
it's
the field, velocity, all that.
Of throw there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Definitely
those
is.
Guys, and he is such a physical player, you know. And then Lamar Jackson, what he can do with a football. And,
right.
Yeah, he's been impressive, too. Did he win an MVP?
No, it's coming, but I think
coming.
That'll happen.
Tomorrow night.
Happen.
It's
tomorrow night.
But it's kind of inevitable. I would think so.
Yeah.
What is it that we would have to say to the owner of the Dolphins, Stephen Ross, to get him to bring back the old uniforms all the time? We hear from Dolphins fans all the time.
So
on behalf of all Dolphins fans, they want the throwbacks to be the permanent uniforms. What do we have to do to get Mr. Ross to bring them back?
I don't think he will because that was kind of his baby. You know what I mean? And I'd like to see him come back, too, because they look great, especially when we have those games, you know, where they're wearing the throwbacks. But at the same time, he owns the team, and I don't think he wants to hear that question anymore.
this is his
better leave it alone.
He likes this.
Leave it alone.
How about in your career, right, I know you went to the Super Bowl 19. What was your – maybe this was your – was that your best team you were ever on? Or what was the team where you went, man, that was a year, you know,
we
lost in the championship or divisional game and we could have won
there
it?
There was a few. That year for sure.
Right.
Then a couple years later, we
was
we
it
had,
next year when you lost to Pittsburgh?
No, the next year we lost to New England.
New England, that's right.
Yeah,
and
then
we
lost
to play
Pittsburgh.
The Bears. And, you
and then when
the
we got – like, we got Keith Byers and – Keith Jackson, and we still had Duper, Clayton,
right?
You know, and then that's the year I tore my Achilles. So I felt really good about that. That
was team.
We had
team
a chance.
Like,
yeah, we
that
had
was
a chance.
95, maybe?
That was like 92.
We were like, they went
92, 93,
it was
something
92.
Like that.
Yeah. I think 92.
Right.
Yeah, but we had a chance there, and then we played Buffalo another time in the AFC Championship
game
and lost that.
Down home.
Yeah, at home. And but those were the teams I would say we had our best chance.
Yeah, yeah. You look at it back in those days, too, like, you know, as far as the way you guys played, your offense, all of that, it was like, for me as a young kid, I was amazed by it. I guess where I wanted to go with it is, let me just turn it this way. Who were some of the best teams you played against, you think, in your NFL career? Like, who were some of the teams that jump out to you to go, oh, my gosh,
well,
special.
The 49ers.
That
the
84 team?
Yeah, the team we lost, they were really good. I mean, we kind of got all the publicity because we broke all the records.
All the passing and all that.
All the passing records, and, you know, we had a – we only lost two games. They only lost one. And then you look back on it, and their defense was rated number one in, like, every category.
People forget that.
They forget that, yeah.
Right.
In every category, they were number one. And then you had Joe and what he was able to do, which is amazing. And so that made it tough. And then playing the Steelers, you know, some of those years with Cowher, they were always a good football team.
Right.
New England had a little stretch there where they were good. But then, you know, playing Buffalo. We played Buffalo.
I mean,
we
incredible.
Had to get through Buffalo.
Right.
To get to the Super Bowl, and we lost to them quite a few times in the playoffs over the years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I think they held us back a little bit from that, from getting another chance.
Yeah, top
you mentioned,
division rival.
You mentioned the 84 49ers only lost to one team all year. Do you remember who they lost to? The team that should have drafted you a year earlier.
Oh, the Steelers.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that right? Okay.
Do you ever, like, wonder, man, if they just – because they thought they were going to have Terry Bradshaw.
Sure, he got
for several
hurt.
More
he
years,
hurt,
and he had the elbow thing and never – I played like one game against the Jets that year, and then he was done. Do you ever wish they just would have realized, you know, it's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be awkward. We don't know how long he's going to be here. I could have been Steelers quarterback and, you know, finish this journey of high school, growing up, college, and be the Steelers quarterback.
I do think about it, and I think at the time it would have been a lot of fun and growing up back in Pittsburgh and being a part of it. But I also think there was a spot in my mind that wanted me to go somewhere else. Just to mature and to, you know, to be living on your own, the whole thing, and understand what it is like in other places. But then, yeah, if I'd have went there, we could have done some damage.
Could have been something.
Yeah, we could have
been
something. Some
tell us one more time about your deal with M&M's.
Oh, we got the – so we're doing a ring. M&M's is doing a ring. It's called for the – what's that? What did I call it again? Sorry.
The Ring of Comfort.
The
Ring of Comfort.
I screwed it up. You got me. Yeah, the Ring of Comfort, and it's it's at the M&M store, and there's diamonds in it, peanut butter, M&Ms, and the one thing it's cool is the commercial will be a lot of fun. And T.O., we got Bruce Smith, and we got Scarlett Johansson in there. And so it was a lot of fun making it, and the Ring of Comfort for those who are not champions, you just got to accept this, man. At least I got that ring going
for
me.
You do. You got some
I got
other
that
stuff
ring.
Going
I got some other
too.
Rings,
You're
yeah, but this,
okay.
this one is special this,
this
week.
This one's special this week. We know that. All right, last thing before you go that I want to just hit you with. Who's the best player you played against in your career? Who's the one guy when I say that you just go, wow, he was unreal?
On a defensive side?
You can go either way. I don't care.
So defensive side, I'm going to go with Bruce Smith because I had to play with him so
twice,
much.
Twice a year.
Yeah, twice a year, three times a year.
Right.
You know, that defense is pretty strong.
Yeah, they were strong.
You know, LT, I only played against him like three times.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Yeah,
right.
He was pretty special, too.
Yeah. LT probably talked more than Bruce Smith, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wearing sunglasses. But an offensive player, I mean, I always thought Elway. I had such respect for him.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah.
There he is, one of the all-time greats, one of the greatest throwers of the football ever since they first invented a football, Dan Marino. We'll be back with more PFT Live
Dan
right after this.
Dan the man.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Betting partner of the NFL, and for Super Bowl 58, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use the promo code PFTLive when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook,
the crown is yours.
And please wager responsibly. All right, Christopher, we have a little break as we await Max Crosby.
Okay.
The Raiders,
I'm going to have fun with Max Crosby.
Pass rusher.
I'm going to have fun.
In what way?
Well, I want to...
Are you going to ask him whether or not those cigars have tobacco in them?
Well, definitely. That's the without a doubt, right? Okay. And then the second thing, too, is, you know, like, you saw the mic'd up thing where he calls Gardner Minshew little boy the whole time?
I did not see that.
Oh, it's really hilarious. He calls Gardner Minshew, like, the whole game, little boy, little boy. Hey, little boy, get up, little boy, does all that. So I feel like I want to call him that and see how he reacts. Hopefully he doesn't beat my ass.
We'll have it. We'll play it when he shows up. But until then, how about some prop bets for Super Bowl 58? What's the better bet, Christopher? Patrick Mahomes has over 260.5 passing yards, or Brock Purdy from the 49ers goes over 246.5?
Wow. Those are tough ones right there. I think if you're going to make me choose this one right here this week, I'm going to take Mahomes. I am. I'm going to go with Mahomes in this. Too much space in this 49ers defense as of late. You've heard me say, too, that I think they got to change, right? They got to be more aggressive in this matchup than they've been in the first two rounds of the playoffs. And I also think within that, that's going to lead to some man-to-man, and that'll be something the Chiefs like as well. So they're both kind of right on the spot there, but I'm going to go with Mahomes with the way this 49ers defense has been playing.
Mahomes is at the over just 9 of 19 games this season, but Jared Goff had 273 in the NFC Championship against the 49ers. So there's yards to be gained there against that San Francisco defense. And we know that Patrick Mahomes is going to get his yards whenever and wherever he can.
I don't feel necessarily comfortable about either one of these, because I can look at it, Brock Purdy, and go, well, they might run the football, right? And McCaffrey, and we talked about the Ravens and how they blew it not running the football on a kind of undermanned defensive tackle position for the Chiefs right now. The Derek Nottie situation not in there, right? So I can see the 49ers attacking them that way. And we know, like you just said, the Chiefs have not been the Chiefs of old, where it's just let it fly and throw the ball all over the parking lot.
I think another thing we have to account for is the possibility that somebody's going to build a lead. Nothing will jack up passing yards like one team being behind by multiple scores. And the way the 49ers have been starting slowly,
right,
I could see the Chiefs throwing the ball a lot early to build the lead, racking up passing yards from Mahomes, and then the 49ers in position where they got to go one-dimensional, and Purdy getting a bunch of passing yards too.
I would not be shocked to see this game go high-scoring in a lot of ways, right? I could see it being 20-17. I could see it being 38-35. I really could. And again, I think a lot is going to be dictated about, you know, what curveballs, how teams approach this game. Is there going to be something they do a lot different? But we've seen in this game too, you know, even if teams get off to slow starts, at some point it usually starts to explode somehow, some way. And I expect a moment like that in this football game.
Rushing yards for Super Bowl 58, the best bet to have the most. And here are the odds. Christian McCaffrey, obviously the favorite at minus 235. Then Isaiah Pacheco of the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes next. There's the water dragon, Brock Purdy, at 40-1. That one's kind of interesting, because we know and we've seen what he can do. And if it becomes a high-scoring pass fest, all it takes is a couple of those, break the pocket, slip through the crack, take off 30, 40 yards, and you're going to be the rushing leader in the game.
Yeah, no, I look at both running backs and go, they could certainly be the leaders. You know, I would be shocked if the 49ers don't rely on McCaffrey and ride him a little bit, especially with all the crazy stuff Spagnuolo does on defense. That'll calm him down a little bit, right? Pacheco, you just kind of said it, the Chiefs, they don't throw all that much, so that's there. I hear you, though. I think sneaky candidates for this one, if you want to, like, take a shot, are the quarterbacks, right? I could see it being a game where, you know, again, the 49ers run defense been pretty good for the most part. Chiefs going all in on the stop the run, and you get some scrambles and some big plays that way.
And look at here.
The hell with the prop bets, because we
there
have
there is.
Max
no more prop
Crosby.
Bets for now. We can't shake his
What's
right
up?
Hand.
Oh,
we can't
up,
shake his right hand.
Well,
how are we?
Yep.
We can't,
how are you?
Be careful.
Good
yep.
to see
Max
you.
Max Crosby, Raiders defensive end.
Good
Welcome.
To see you.
Absolutely, man. Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Incredible year. Good year. I was told him I wanted to mess with you, right? I wanted to come out and just go, hey, what's up, little boy? Hey, little boy. Get up, little boy. Yeah. Nice to see you, little boy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, was afraid you might whoop my ass, but
I hope you do. Right now is your best bet, because I'm all, you know, I got a few surgeries. So, yeah. But it's funny, man. I got a bone to pick with you, too. I know you always give the Raiders a hard time. So.
Oh, ooh, go, man. Go. Let's
you
do
always
it.
Give my Raiders Let's a hard time. I mean, you got to put some respect on us a little bit. A little bit. You know, it's all love at the end of the day.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
I mean, you got to show the Raiders a little bit more respect.
I'm actually surprised you're here. You're saying that. I feel like somebody
he talks shit about the Raiders all the time. Don't let him lie to you.
No, I already know. And
I do
love
it.
I'm not calling you out. No. I'm
just
being
real. You're calling me out,
just
but
a little
I like
bit.
It.
It's okay.
It's all good.
I respect it. You know,
I wonder what I said though. That like because I'm a fan of your coaches. Right? Where did I go wrong?
No,
like, let
I
me
mean,
know the one thing that's popping in your
there was,
brain.
There's a couple things that triggered me. I know there's times you talked about our defense early on. You're like, you know, they don't really have, you know,
I said
a guy
you're the only
on
blue chip guy.
Yeah,
I think,
I'm
right.
like, I got a lot of great teammates, you know, Jack Jones, Robert Spillane.
Right.
You know, we got a lot of guys, and I feel like as the season went on, people got to really see that. So.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I'm always be protective of my guys with the Raiders.
You're
so.
Totally cool with that.
Yeah, no, I
actually really appreciate
it.
You coming in and coming laying down the law like that.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Always, I man. I gotta represent the Shield.
All right. So, all right, now that you got me all flummoxed and nervous over here, okay?
I love it.
All right, you jerk. All right. what, tell me about your little boy thing, though, because I was telling him a little bit before you came on air, right? I saw you with I think it was the Colts game with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And is this a normal thing you break out, or do you just break it out tactically every now and then?
You know, it's funny, like in practice, like it's something I always do. Like if you talk to Brian Hoyer or like Jimmy G or any of the guys,
right.
Derek Carrs, any of the dudes that have been quarterback with me, like that's something I always do. And it's not just quarterbacks, like it's running backs, linemen, whoever it is. Like
right.
I'm always trying to find an advantage and get in people's heads. So for me, I'm usually not the one that starts it, but like if there's something that like triggers me a little bit, I'm like I'm going all the way.
Yeah.
So like I wouldn't say I don't want to get there, but like once I start, like, there's no stopping. And with Minshew, it was the same thing. And people don't even realize. They finally, like, showed what happened.
Right.
And I knocked him down. I tried to help him up. And he, like, pulled his
hand
away.
He pulled away. He didn't want to do
And I'm like, all right, bet. So I was on him the whole game.
So that triggered you.
Immediately.
Like,
I
was like,
that's all I needed. Yeah, that's all I needed. So that's kind of usually how it goes.
You're a psycho. You know
a little
that?
Bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Okay. You played the whole year with a knee injury, too. How hard was it to answer the bell each and every week to keep going and going and going until the end of the season?
I think the hardest thing was just, like, the mental side of it because I'm so routine-oriented. Every single day I have my day planned out. I know exactly what time I'm eating, rehabbing, everything like that. So I'm a guy that never misses practice. Like, my whole year, like, I've never missed a
game. You don't miss a play.
I don't miss play. Yeah, like, I'm always out there. So having to, like, be limited in practice and get 3 reps instead of, you know, 8.
Right.
And then kind of going through that and then doing a lot more work in the weight room away from the team, like, That was the biggest challenge for me was just the mental part. But, like, I have great guys, you know, the Rick Slates, the guys in our training, you know, training staff that have helped me. Like, they made it a lot easier. Just, listen, this is what we're going to do. Buy in, and you're going to be just fine. So I really had to just trust my foundation and trust the work and people around me.
How do you find that blend, right? Because your stamina is incredible, but yet you need to be explosive, right?
Yep.
And also, like, you're naturally a big guy. You're not super jacked, and I'm not trying to say that
no,
to be like, you know what I mean?
No,
like you don't have biceps and triceps, but I know you're strong as hell. I watch you on film every week, right? So how do you find that balance of like being strong as hell, pliable, and explosive and kind of work that?
Yeah, it really comes down to the everyday process. Like I train basically all year round, and like we play Denver week 18. Next day, I'm rehabbing, still on meal prep. That hasn't stopped. Like, all year round, I'm dialed in, 365. So, you know, you see a lot of guys. There's a lot of dudes that look like Goliath.
Exactly, right.
Stiff as a board and can't go rush or bend. Or, you know what I mean? So, for me, it's about how can I be the best player on a play-to-play basis? And, like, that's how I feel like I separate myself. Because when I first came in the league, they're like, oh, he's a skinny white dude. All he can do is pass rush. And I was like, all right, watch what I can do. I know I can play the run. And now I'm one of the best run defenders as well. So it's like I want to be the best at everything I do, and it requires 365 all year round.
So it's a conscious effort to stay pliable and not be totally jacked and too tight and all that.
100%. Like, I mean, a look is one thing. Like, I have Serbian roots. Like, Luka Doncic, you would look at him and be like, oh, he's not the strongest guy, but he's bullying people out there.
Definitely,
so,
right.
You know, we have similar roots. The Jokic is Serbian.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's my mom. They're all Serbian.
Yeah, Eastern European.
Eastern European.
Right.
Like, we're not the most shredded to the core.
Just
but, like,
big dudes.
Yeah, but if, you know, you talk to the old linemen and stuff that play, you know, I'm just as quick as strong. So I try to be all those in one.
Yeah.
At what point in your life did the light go off that I can do this, that I'm going to be special as an athlete?
Honestly, the confidence started – my redshirt year in college, I had never played DN until my senior year of high school, so that's why I didn't have a bunch of offers. I had no film going into my last year. And I went to a camp at Eastern, and they were like the worst team in D1 at the time, and I just wanted a D1 offer. That's all that mattered.
Right.
So they offered me before I even played the position.
Right.
And I went there. I was like, I'm trying to play right away. I was like 212 pounds when I got to Eastern.
Little boy.
I was a little boy then. But at the same time, like, can't measure heart. Like, I went into that redshirt year and just went on scout team and just tried to wreck the practice every single day.
Right.
And I was traveling. You know, the scout team player of the week travels every week. I won, like, literally every week.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was, like, that's where the confidence started. I'm going against Andrew Wiley. Ironically, ends up being the Chiefs starting right tackle. So we're playing each other in the league, and I've been going against this guy in when I first started playing the position. So it really started there, and I think that was the biggest year of my career, like really learning how to play the position.
You were
very vocal about Antonio Pierce becoming the head coach of the team, to the point where you kind of suggested if it doesn't work out that way, you may have to make some decisions about your own career.
We were rooting for it, too, just so you know.
And we ran into him. I wasn't going to drop him. We ran into him the night we were hanging out with him and talking to him. So we know him.
Yeah.
Did you get the feeling it was kind of – it could go either way? I mean, did you think that I better say something now? If I don't, they're not going to realize they need to keep this guy as the head coach?
Yeah. Honestly, you know, there's obviously a lot of stuff that people don't know behind the scenes. But, yeah, I mean, we went through the situation before. You know, a lot of guys spoke up, not just myself, but Derek, a lot of guys, and then we went in a different direction. And, you know, it happened. It's in the past. It's over with. But, I mean, we started from scratch again, and we set ourselves back. And, you know, for me as a player, like, I'm going into my sixth year already. Like, it flies by.
It does,
man.
And,
you know, I know for myself, like, my messaging wasn't, like, screw the Raiders, I want to leave. Like, I want to be here. Everyone knows that. I have the Raiders shield tagged
on me. You're a Raider.
Like, I'm a Raider to the day I die,
yeah,
no question.
You are.
But I just want everybody in the building to be thinking the same way. Like, every year I show the guys, I show up, I'm there 6 a.m. in the off season when nobody's in the building. I want everyone thinking like that, from the front office to the janitor. I don't care who it is. We want to win and be a Super Bowl team. Like, I want everyone thinking like that. How can I get better every single day? So that's how I carry myself, and that's kind of what my message was. Like, if we're not trying to win, like, if we're going to start from scratch again, like, that means all my D linemen are gone again. It's happened a bunch of times. The whole defense, new coaches, everything. And, like, then I got to, you know, it's not like it's a liability. I love being a leader and doing what I do, but it's like, I don't want to start from scratch again. And then, okay, what if it doesn't work? Then all of a sudden I'm in year 8 and 9, and it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, AP gave us a great chance to win. We're competitive in every single game. Let's add some more weapons on top of what we already started, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I hear
that's
that.
That's really all it was for me.
All of our guests this week have a sponsor. I assumed you were here on behalf of a cigar manufacturer.
No,
it's Invisalign.
I don't have
Which
a cigar.
Which I want to know, like, what do you got in those cigars? You got some of the good stuff in there?
No,
I just wanted to know.
All.
Okay.
We're strictly
damn, I liked you better before then.
Yeah.
All right, so let's hear your pitch. I want to hear this.
Yeah, Invisalign. I just got it. I got them in right now.
Cool.
Didn't grow up with braces, so, you know, Invisalign came to me. They said, hey, listen, 400 other guys in the league have it, and we'd love to, you know, for you to be a part of the team. So they pitched it to me. I love it. They're the best of the best. So I just started recently. So first couple days were tough, I'm not going to lie, but it's been incredible.
So Invisalign came to you, and they're like, hey, your teeth are messed up. We'd like you to we'd like to help you out.
They're like, listen, you need to fix it. Yeah, exactly. No, but it was
my teeth are messed up, too, on the bottom for sure.
Yeah,
I need it. All right, last thing, because I know you got to go. But I got to ask you about your arch rival, the Chiefs, Mahomes. I know you hate them. You should hate them.
Yeah.
But, like, give us just a little look inside of what makes him and them such a great football team.
You know, they got championship DNA.
Yeah.
You know, last time we played them, like, we
you whooped
won.
Their butt pretty good.
We got after them. So just seeing how far, you know, how they're still able to continue to find ways to get better just shows when you have a guy like Andy Reid, a great head coach that doesn't panic when things go bad,
right.
A quarterback that thinks the same way, and then you got Travis Kelce. I mean, when you got three guys, like core guys like that, and the Chris Jones and dudes like that, you can have struggles. There's going to be ups and downs, but they don't panic. They don't freak out. And that's like – you know, from my experience, it's like the best teams are all like even keeled, no matter win or loss. They're like, okay, we're gonna bounce back, we're gonna get better, and that's what they do. You know, Mahomes is the best in the
league. Except when you wake him up and he tells you that you woke up the wrong mother ever.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
how good did
quarterbacks
it feel,
can
though?
Talk a little bit, but they don't, Max, they don't want that.
How good did it feel to go into their building on Christmas Day and basically be the Grinch?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, we smoked cigars after. We were in the locker room having fun. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what being a Raider is.
Yeah, it's no awesome, doubt. Man.
All right, the ultimate Raider. Raider for life, and definitely sticking around in Las Vegas for a while.
Charging
Max Crosby. Awesome.
On our
great
show.
Seeing you, man.
I love it.
Are we taking a break?
Hey,
we're taking a break.
Awesome.
4PFT Live right after
good
this.
Luck, all right. Thank you. Good luck.
Say you smoke Padron's.